So today's Easter. Talk about the resurrection, right? So I've chosen a passage. It's found in the Gospel of John, chapter 11. It's a passage where Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me shall live forever. Even if he dies," he said, "he'll still live." It's found in the Gospel of John, chapter 11. It's a story of some friends of Jesus, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. They were actually two sisters and a brother. They lived in a little town very close to Jerusalem. And apparently, every time Jesus came into Jerusalem, it appears that he stayed at their house. It was only about 2 miles from Jerusalem. And he would stay there and then go into Jerusalem to preach and do ministry. But the story we're about to read, something happened while Jesus was away, about 20 miles away in another town. Lazarus gets sick. And he doesn't get any better. And he's getting sicker and sicker. All of a sudden, the sisters realize he's dying. So they send a message to Jesus, "Come quickly, your friend is dying." And that's where we're reading in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 11 this morning. "Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus, of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary who had anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick." So these three people had a special connection with Jesus. "Therefore the sisters sent to him, 'Lord, behold, him whom you love is sick.' When Jesus heard that, he said, 'This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it.' Now Jesus loved Martha and his sister Mary and his sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he stayed 2 more days in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, 'Let's go to Judea.' The disciples said, 'Man, the Jews were trying to kill you. You really sure you want to go back?' Jesus said, 'Are there not 12 hours in a day? If anyone walks in the day, he won't stumble because he sees the light of the world. But if one walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him.' These things he said, and after that he said, 'Our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that you may wake him up.'" Jesus always was just a little on the edge, mysterious. This is a typical thing here. He goes, "Lazarus is sleeping." Then his disciples said, "Well, Lord, if he sleeps, he'll get better. Let him sleep." However, Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought he was speaking about taking a rest. Jesus said to them, "Lazarus is dead, and I'm glad." A little insensitive. I thought that would be an interesting title for a sermon some Sunday. "Lazarus is dead, and I'm glad." I'm like, what? "Lazarus is dead." And he said, "I'm glad for your sake that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let's go." Thomas, who was called Didymus, said to his fellow disciples, "Let's go also, that we may die with him." They're just completely oblivious. They don't know what he's talking about. So when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles. Many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard Jesus was coming, went and met him, so sort of at the edge of town. But Mary was sitting in the house, and Martha said to Jesus — this would be one of those places, if you had the recording, you'd get the sense of the attitude — "Lord, if you had been there, my brother wouldn't have died." Okay. "But even now, I know whatever you ask of God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said, "I know he'll rise again in the resurrection." Jesus said, "I'm the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die." "Now, you believe this, Martha?" Ooh, she says, "I believe you're the Christ, the Son of God, who came to the world." She wasn't really sure about this resurrection thing. But when she had said these things, she went away secretly, called Mary, her sister, saying, "The teacher has come and is calling you." So we have this story about Lazarus dying, and Jesus gets the message. But here in this verse where it says he waits 2 more days, I don't know about you, but that kind of bothers me. You know, verse 6, "So when he heard that he was sick, he stayed 2 more days in the place where he was." I mean, don't you think he should have just stopped what he was doing and jetted up to Bethany? I mean, his best friend, one of his best friends is sick. What would you do? You're 20, 30 miles away, and you get a phone call, your best friend is sick. What would you do? You'd get on a car, drive up there right away. But I'm telling you something, Jesus was a little different. He didn't always do things the way we thought he should. And he gets this message, and he waits 2 days. And I think what happens is we begin to realize that sometimes things don't unfold the way we think they should. You know, Martha thought Jesus was her best friend, one of her best friends. She thought if she just sent for him right now, he'd come right away. And it didn't work out that way, and ends up that Lazarus dies. But I think this is a story about, like, real life. Like, sometimes things don't unfold the way we want them to. You know, you have your idea how stuff is supposed to happen, but you're looking at it right now, and you're going, well, it's not working out the way I thought. I'm not where I'm supposed to be right now, or this relationship is not working out, or this health issue is not getting resolved. And I think maybe it would be fair to say sometimes we feel a little bit like Martha, you know, not really being disrespectful, but in a sense being disrespectful, like, where are you, Jesus? Where were you? I sent for you. I mean, I'm being honest with you, there have been times in my life, situations have come up, and I prayed and asked for Jesus to help out, and he didn't come when I thought he should come, and I wanted to say, and I even said, at least in my heart, man, Jesus, you know, where are you? This is what Martha's going. Look, I sent for you. Where are you? I mean, sometimes the fact is life throws us a curveball, and things don't always happen the way we think they should. They don't unfold the way we like it. But the fact is, as you read this story, and my hope is we get some encouragement from this story, that you don't have to worry because Jesus is on top of it. He is on top of it. He may march to a tune of a different drummer, though. This is the issue that often confuses us. He's not running around doing everything you ask. And that is sometimes frustrating. But he's not haphazard in what he's doing. This whole thing about him waiting 2 days is a significant thing. What happens is, by the time he gets there, Lazarus now is dead for 4 days. This means he was really dead. Not like in the movie Princess Bride, mostly dead. You know, he was mostly dead. No, he was really dead. Like in the Jewish tradition, when a person died, they even had this thing called 3 days of waiting, where they kind of believed that the spirit kind of hovered by the body, didn't really detach from it, and was sort of trying to get back. But they said by the fourth day, it's over. Spirit's gone. And so I think there's something to this 2 day wait, that Jesus wasn't like, I'm busy right now. He had a plan, and his plan was to show the glory of God. And whether Martha liked it or Lazarus liked it, or whether you like it when God shows up, he's not showing up haphazard. I mean, this is the way he lived his life, and you see this all the way through the scriptures. He marched to the different drumbeat. The Pharisees didn't like it. The disciples couldn't understand it. And even today, we struggle with it. But he said, I only do the things I see the Father. I'm marching to his tune. Let me ask you this. How much better do you think our lives would be if we didn't let everybody else and everybody else's expectations tell us what we should be doing and when we should be doing it? And I think that's partly why we get so frustrated. We're trying to please everybody. And maybe it would be better if we just tried to stay in touch with God and walked and marched to his tune. This is Jesus showing up 4 days late, according to Martha and Mary, but he wasn't 4 days late. Now, when he raises Lazarus from the dead, there's no doubt about this. The man is completely dead. This is a miracle, not a healing. This is a divine, supernatural intervention breaking the laws of nature. So we come to the place where Martha meets him, and she has this little interaction with him. And I think there was a little bit of frustration here. Like, where were you? And then you have Jesus getting into what I'd call a little theological discussion with her. Martha, I think what he's trying to do is calm her down a little bit. And he says to her, Martha, hold on. I've got this. This is what he's telling her. I got this. I'm here. We'll take care of it. And she's all frustrated. And you get this thing because she walks away. Like, she just leaves him. Like he says in verse 20, she says in verse 27, well, I believe you're the Christ, the Son of God. And when she said these things, she went. She just left. Went and got Mary. She's going, I can't, you know, I'm so frustrated. What happened? What's up with Jesus? And she sends Mary. Now, this I find really interesting because Mary comes, and now if you had the recording, this would show you a little difference because she says the exact same words as Martha. Mary comes. In verse 29, she arises, comes to him. And when Jesus had not yet come to town, he was in the place where Martha had met him. Then the Jews who were with her in the house comforting her, when they saw that Mary started to go, they went to her. When Mary came, she fell down, says the exact same words, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Only I think she said it like this, Lord, if you'd been here. And she's weeping. Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and he said, where have you laid him? They said, Lord, come and see. Verse 35, Jesus wept. Powerful, powerful scripture here. But I find this incredibly interesting. Martha and Mary say the same thing to Jesus. Only one of them ends up getting in a discussion with him and walks away frustrated. The other one tugs at his heart and he starts to cry. Maybe, it's just a little FYI, maybe it's not the words we're saying. It's how you say it. It's a fact. You know this is true. It's an attitude. You can say the same words as somebody else. One of those may move the heart of God. One of them may just get you in a frustrating discussion. Mary tugs at Jesus' heart. He starts to weep here. I mean, this is a powerful passage. Wept. I've read so many sermons on this, people saying, well, you know, this is the humanity of Jesus. I think this is the divinity of Jesus. This tells us that God feels our pain. It's an incredible passage. He wept as the Son of God. I'm not exactly sure what was going on here. He might have wept out of frustration just because of the situation and being misunderstood. And here's Martha mad at him, and here's Mary crying. And you know, sometimes you get misunderstood. Even good intentions get misunderstood. It hurts a little, and maybe this was it. Or maybe he's just agitated about the whole situation. Maybe he just sensed the emotion of it. You know, the death of a close friend. Even though we know they're going to heaven, sometimes it just catches you off guard. I mean, I saw this even Friday as we were doing the Via Della Rosa walk, and people were reading passages, and all of a sudden you just get this emotional surge of like, whoa. I mean, I remember the death of my parents and the funeral for them and my older sister. And I just remember this. You may be fine one second, and then the next second, just, whoa, this emotion just sweeps over you. And I think this is what happened to Jesus. He's talking to Martha. Here comes Mary. She's falling on his feet, pulling on Jesus. And he's going, whoa, whoa. And all of a sudden, it wept. But this would be one of these places, if you knew Greek, you could do a little research on this, because the words here, Jesus wept. And up a little bit where it says, verse 33, it says, he groaned in the spirit and he was troubled. These words are like very graphic words. Where it says here, he groaned in the spirit, verse 33, it means he was snorting like a horse. That's the definition of groan. You ever see somebody wail where everything's coming out? This is what this is talking about. This is not like he just had two tears running down the side of his face, you know, just like token prayer. He's wailing. He's snorting. Snot running down, eyes. I mean, the guy is wailing. It says he's troubled, agitated. And this verse here where it says he wept, it means he burst out, just wailing. No wonder why it says the Jews, it says in verse 36, the Jews said, see how we loved him. They're going, whoa, man, the guy's, he's wailing. But this is comforting, folks. This is something to tell us that God feels our pain. He's not a distant God. You know, this wasn't token prayer. This wasn't Jesus' humanity. I think this was Jesus' divinity. This is the heart of God, and God weeps when we struggle. He feels your pain. Powerful passage. Then the Jews said, see how he loved him. Some of them said, well, couldn't he have opened the eyes? Couldn't he have kept him from dying? Jesus, again, groaning in himself, just wailing, comes to the tomb. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said, Lord, by this time there is stench. He's been dead 4 days. Jesus said, didn't I tell you that if you would believe, you'd see something here? Come on, Martha. I mean, this is a challenge. This is where her little act of faith was, move the stone, Martha. So they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. Jesus lifted his eyes. Father, I thank you. You've heard me. And I know you always hear me, but because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. He who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave cloths. His face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said, loose him. Let him go. And the story goes on. The miracle was so profound. It's kind of an interesting story. Many believed because of him, but many, even though they saw the miracle, still didn't believe. Just kind of tells you that a miracle is not going to cause someone to believe. It's the condition of the heart. But Jesus performs this incredible miracle, calls Lazarus from the tomb. I read this one sermon. Pastor said, man, it's sure a good thing that he called Lazarus by name. All the graves would have opened up if he just said, come forth. Everybody would have rose from the dead. Not just, yeah, get back. Sorry, I meant just Lazarus, you know. Every grave would have opened, but he just called Lazarus, rose him from the dead, performed an incredible miracle, and was trying to teach Martha and Mary. As much as I don't like this idea that God may allow us to go through struggles, this idea that Jesus says to Martha and Mary, I am the resurrection, it's a significant thing. He said this before he himself rose from the dead. He proved it to them by saying, look, I'm in control here. I'm in control even of death. I mean, he says to them, he says, look, even if they die, they will live. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he's still going to live. You're going to win. If the worst thing that can happen to you is that you die, you'll still win, he's telling her. Hang in there, Martha. I'm doing something. I'm bringing forth the glory of God. And it's the same with us as we face struggles in our lives. You face a disaster, a job that you loved got canceled, or a relationship is going south, or financial difficulties, or you know, whatever the challenge is, and you're calling God help, and maybe he's not coming through exactly as you think, but don't worry, he's got it in control. He is the resurrection. He brings life. What does this mean? First of all, it means we must all need to be resurrected. If I don't need to be resurrected, I don't need him. But he's telling us, look, in your challenges in life, trust me, I'll bring life. I'll bring life. I can bring resurrection. Nothing is too far gone. In this case, this is about as far gone as it can get. The guy is not just dead, not mostly dead. He's completely dead. This is a real miracle. And if he can raise the dead, clearly, without any hesitation, whatever you're facing, he can raise it. Come on, man. He can raise it. He can bring life. Your situation's not so far gone. That son or daughter that you've been praying about, that job you want and you think it's, you know, nothing's too far gone. That health issue that you've prayed about for years, listen, nothing is too far gone. Maybe Jesus is doing something similar like he did to Martha and Mary. Maybe in your situation, he's trying to bring you to the tomb, and then he's going to ask you, do you believe that I am the resurrection and the life? And notice Martha's answer. I believe you're the Son of God. Fine, Martha, but that's not what he's asking her. Do you really believe I can resurrect this? I'm sure many of you here would clearly say, I believe in Jesus. I mean, most of America says they believe in Jesus. But ask this, do you believe Jesus can intervene on your behalf right now and bring resurrection? That's the question. What's the answer? Absolutely, yes. Yes. Let's close in prayer. God, thank you that you are the resurrection. You proved it by raising Lazarus from the dead. And then ultimately, you rose yourself from the dead. We don't have to question that, but God, when it applies to our life, help us to believe that you can bring resurrection. That nothing we may be facing is too far gone. God, that you've brought us here today, you've brought us to that place where we can easily confess we believe you're the Son of God. But I believe you want to take us that next step and ask, do we believe you're the resurrection and the life? Do we believe you'll resurrect and bring life to me today? And just as we're praying right now, I just want to take a moment, especially since today is Easter and the Resurrection Sunday. You know, there may be some of you here today that need to be touched by God in a significant way. Right here. Amen, sister. Yeah, there's some of you here that God brought you here today because you need that touch. It's not a question of whether you believe Jesus is the Son of God. He's calling you today to say, do you believe he can resurrect? Do you believe he can bring life into your life? Maybe you've made some decisions that were not good. Maybe you're innocent and something's happening to you. But I just want to take a moment here and challenge you. Challenge you. There's a part in the service where maybe it's your turn now. It's your turn to respond. You're not here by coincidence. You're not here just because it's Easter. God brought you here today. God brought you here today that he might touch your life. You could walk out of here experiencing something new. Resurrection. The Bible actually calls it new birth. I'm just going to pray here in a minute, and then I'm going to ask if you're feeling that tug at your heart, if you just raise your hand, and we're just going to pray a blessing over you, pray a simple prayer. We're going to allow the Holy Spirit to begin doing that resurrection work that Jesus said he was all about. So, Father, I pray right now by your Holy Spirit. You are alive, and you're moving among us here today, and you're tugging at hearts, and you're asking people, not if they just believe you're the Son of God. You're asking them right now, do they believe you are the resurrection and the life? And I pray, Holy Spirit, you open hearts right now. Open hearts. Open hearts. Feeling that tug at your heart? Just hold your hand up. I'm going to pray a blessing over you right now, all the way in the back. Our sister right up front here. Just hold it up right over here, this lady here. Hold them up. I'm going to bless you, man. All the way in the back, there's a hand. All the way over here is a hand. Come on. All the way over here is a hand. Come on. Come on. All the way in the back, there's another hand. Come on, man. This is it. You're going. Jesus either is or isn't, and I say he is. I say he's going to come in, and he's going to bring resurrection, life into your soul and your spirit. You're going to begin to feel what this is all about. In the name of Jesus, anybody else, just hold your hand up. Come on. Easter Sunday, it's my day, it's your day, all the way over there. Come on, man, lots of hands up. Okay, brothers, sisters around them, just do me a favor, just put your hand on them. We're going to pray a real simple prayer. Hold your hand up all the way in the back there. Come on, if they got their hand up, just stand right with them. In the name of Jesus right now, Father, right over here. Come on over here, over here, over here, yep, right over here. All right, Father, let's just ask the Holy Spirit to begin to fill them right now, and then we're going to pray a real simple prayer. Everybody just say this prayer with me. It's so simple. Jesus, please come into my life right now and fill me with that resurrection life. Change me from within. I want that new life. Touch me, God, in that personal way. I surrender to you. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, come right now, Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, right now. Come on. Speak against anything that has been opposing you. Speak against any darkness that's been in your heart and your mind. I just bring clarity. The light of God right now begin to shine. Just breathe it in like fresh air. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Right over here. Hallelujah. Amen, sister. Good for you. Good for you. Good for you. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on, man. Woo! Come on. Hallelujah, man. That's awesome. So we're going to take our offering here in just a minute. I wonder if one of the ushers could go get the children. They're going to bring their offering. But I just want to talk to those of you who raised your hand. Listen, that is a significant experience right now. And you've just opened your heart to God. And I'm telling you, this is real. This is real. He's going to change you. I'm telling you, sister, he's going to change you, man. Yes, man. This sister's got the Holy Ghost all over her, just tugging. God bless her in the name of Jesus. Yep, yep. It's awesome, man. So listen, after the service, if you raised your hand, we're going to bring our prayer team up front. We'd love to just talk with you and just kind of help you kind of get connected, because you need Christian support. You need some family around you. So we're going to do that. We've got our children coming in here for our offering. Somebody carrying something? Okay, you line them right up here. Won't bring them up, but who's ever carrying it can come right up here. So they've been collecting this all year, I think, Kristen. Is that right? Yeah, okay, bring it in here. Here it comes. So bring it right up on the stage. So this is our Easter special offering. Just a little quick what we're doing here this morning. Everybody knows what's happening, but just in case you don't, let's talk a little bit about this. So everything we collect today, the entire offering goes towards the purchase of these chairs. We've got two of them up here, the blue one and the white one. Come right up here. Yep. Oh, man, sweet. You guys are awesome. Here. All right. Here. We'll put them right up here. Whoa, 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 whoa. Bring it over here. All right. Oh, there's another one. All right. Man. Thank you. Thank you. All right, so we're going to pray over this offering. Children, we want you to be here, and we pray over them, then we'll dismiss you. But I just want to let everybody know, so everything we collect today goes toward the Easter offering. It's the purchase of these chairs, $77.91. For $77.91, you change a person's life. You cannot get a better deal than that. That includes the manufacturing and the delivery of the chair. We're having them sent to Vietnam. We're sending a team there. Our team pays their own way, and they go there and they assemble them and distribute them and bless every one of them. It is a wonderful experience. This is incredible. You get to be a part of something that is literally changing a country that is doing it in the kingdom of God style. So this is really exciting. So we're going to take our offering today. For ushers to come forward. If you give electronically, I think we're looking at about 50% of our people give electronically or different ways. Go ahead and just write on the envelope, and then you can do it, you know, pay online, or if you want to do the mobile app. This is not like a pledge. We're not dragging this out for 3 months or 6 months. This is our special Easter offering. And let me say this, sacrifice. It's worth it. It's worth it, man. Whatever you give, give sacrificially. I mean, wow, it's awesome. Right on the envelope, so we'll track what comes in, and then hopefully if you're doing electronically or however you do it, it comes in the next week, and then we'll total it up and let everybody know. We've given away now getting close to 4,000 chairs. 4,000 chairs. This is just so incredible, man. Yeah. 4,000 chairs. Man. So may God bless this abundantly.
He has lifted us, he has overcome the power of the grave and the sin that once enslaved. We couldn't hold him in the ground, couldn't keep him down. Back the darkness, lighting up.
on here. We're going to close in prayer. Do me a favor. Just grab somebody's hand. You know, we're part of a church family. Grab somebody's hand. We're going to close in prayer. Our prayer team up front here, if you raised your hand, we'd love to have you come up just so some people could talk with you, pray with you. If you're dealing with some challenges in your life and maybe you're feeling a little bit like Martha this morning, come up, get some prayer. Let's give God opportunity to show you what he's doing, see where he wants you to go and what he wants you to do. This is a great opportunity for personal ministry. You got somebody's hand? Let's pray. Father, thank you for Resurrection Sunday, God. Thank you for reviving hope in us, for new beginnings, for the fact that we're never too far gone, God. Even if we think it's 4 days and it's too late, it's never too late. You're always working on our behalf. God, thank you that you feel our pain. You feel you have emotions, God. That you're interested in our lives. And we just thank you this morning, God. We love you. Ask your blessing on us this week. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You're all dismissed.